listening to Abiding Hope Church's podcast of our weekly sermons. For more information about our church, please visit abidinghope.org.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 20th chapter. Jesus said, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, 'Why are you standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, 'Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first.' When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?' So the last will be first, and the first will be last." The Gospel of the Lord. So in many churches, we share what's called a common lectionary, which means that there are a series of Bible passages that are assigned to each week, and we can choose which ones that we often look at and share. And so there's several passages that we could use this week. One of them was the Philippians passage that we heard, but there are a couple other ones that I think help us sort of frame our mind to what's happening in the text today. The first comes from early into the Hebrew scriptures. It's from Exodus, and it's a story that all of these people had been enslaved. They'd all been in slavery in Egypt, and they're all freed, they're all brought out, and then they spend this time in the wilderness. So they're not in slavery anymore, but they're in the wilderness, and in the wilderness, they're hungry and they're thirsty. And so it says they started to grumble against Moses, saying, "Well, you brought us out of slavery just to come out into the desert and die, and why'd you do this to us? And we wish we were back in Egypt and slaves again, you know." And it says that God heard the grumbling of the people. And so the next morning, he woke up, the people woke up, and there's this white flaky substance all over the ground. They all said, "What is it?" Which in Hebrew is manna. That's just what manna means. It means, "What is it?" And so so they saw it and they said, "What is it?" And God said, "This is the bread I provide for you. This is what I provide for you." Another one of the texts this week is from Jonah. Jonah is the worst prophet in the Bible. He's awful. He's terrible. He's lousy. He does everything wrong. So for instance, in this particular text, he like walks into Nineveh. He gives the shortest, lousiest sermon in the history of sermons. I think it's 5 words. It's like, 3 days and y'all are dead. You know, like that's like the whole thing. And then he turns around and walks out. And then he sits there and watches. And guess what happens? all of Nineveh repents. The whole place says, oh, we're so sorry, we can't believe we did this. And so they all go into repentance mode, which means they put on their hair shirts. It says they even put hair shirts on their dogs and cats, which I love this idea of like all the dogs, cats, and donkeys are wearing like these garments that make them feel uncomfortable so they can feel bad and repent. That's how you know it's a parable. And so, and at the end, what, and you would think that Jonah would be like, whoa, I'm really good at this job. I'm really great. But no, you know what he does? He grumbles. He's like, And God's like, why are you grumbling? And he says, because I knew that you are gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Isn't that a funny thing to grumble about? But he does. He complains that God is nice. That's Jonah's complaint. And so when we hear this text, the story of the landowner who brings in people at all times of day and then gives them all generously, and that one group grumbles about it, it's a part of a tradition in the Hebrew tradition. It's called the murmuring tradition. It's called the murmuring. And it's a tradition throughout the Hebrew scriptures of people who are grumbling against God when God does something nice. There's a tradition of this, that they murmur, they grumble. I think of it as like Fred Flintstone. You know when Fred Flintstone would like get mad, he'd go, y'all know who Fred Flintstone is? Am I the only one? Okay, good. There's a few people know. Remember that when he would just kind of like that? That's this kind of idea that they're like grumbling about things. It's grumbling. It's because they're still operating from an economy that's about fair, about things being fair. There's this idea that we should work a certain number of hours and we should get paid for that certain number of hours, and that is fair. If we work less hours, we get paid less. If we work more hours, we get paid more. That we should get what we deserve. If you're nice, you do nice things happen to you. If you're bad, bad things happen to you. That's what fair is. And so we're always, and it's in our heads, we're sort of from birth designed to think of fair. We want everything to be fair. For instance, my kids, every Saturday I make them chocolate croissants. Most Saturdays, because we get up and watch soccer together, we make chocolate croissants. Go to Trader Joe's in the frozen section. They have chocolate croissants. You put them out Friday night on some parchment paper. You let them proof overnight. It's delicious. You take a little egg wash. You put it on. Stick it in the oven. Now, those little frozen blocks of chocolate croissants, they all weigh the same. They weigh exactly the same. They have exactly the same amount of chocolate in it. There's not one with more chocolate and one with not less chocolate. They have two bars of the same amount of chocolate. But when you stick them in the oven, some of them poof up a little more than the others, right? It's not more croissant. It's just more air, right? It's not like there's more croissant in one of them than the other. But they will run over to where the croissants are and they'll be like, no, I want that one. I got it here first. That's not fair. I'm like, dude, you're arguing over air. You're arguing over whose croissant had more air. But they can't get it in their head. They want the biggest croissant. And if somebody else, you got the big one last week. No, you got it. It's not fair, man. He always, well, you should have gone up. You know what I mean? I'm sitting there going, weigh them. They weigh the same. We have it ingrained in us. We want fair. We want things to be what we're owed. We want the things to work out. And we think that that's the way society and culture works. We think that everything operates in a matter of fairness. Women, do you get paid the same as men? See, we're not already operating among the level of fairness, right? Do good things happen to good people and bad things happen to bad people? No. Bad things can happen to good things. Good things can happen to bad things. It's just more of a chaotic mess. And some people just don't get, teachers in Colorado do not get paid enough, period. What are we, 46th in the country? In the country? I mean, it's not fair, right? We already operate in a system that's not about fairness. And so what God opens up to us today is a whole other kind of economy. Instead of an economy that operates about owed, deserved, fair, God says, I have a very different way, a different MO, a different modus operandi. I live out of generosity. I live out of abundance. I give because I can. and because I want to. And I'm not here to argue about fair or not fair. I'm here to give simply because it is in my nature to give and to give abundantly. I think the threshold that we have to cross this week is we have to recognize the ways in which we are still operating out of deserved and fair when God is operating out of a whole different mindset. That it seems unfair that, you know, these people should get it and these people don't because they've worked harder than these kind of things. That we always have these systems about these people are deserving and these people aren't. These people have the moral fortitude and so they operate. And so these people, but God's like, no. All. And what's funny is that people will grumble about that. I am still shocked at how upset people get when you tell them Jesus loves somebody they don't think should be loved. Isn't it funny? Like, no, that's good news. That is, no, God loves them too. Our queer friends, God loves them too. Wait a minute. I knew you were slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, but I didn't really believe it. Our friends who are poor and need help, who are living in systems that keep them down, they need help, and God loves them too and is lifting them up. Wait a second, I pulled myself up by my bootstraps. Well, that assumed you have boots. Right? We think in terms of fairness too, and we even try to give that to God. There's too many theologies that are all about that what we've got to do to make God happy and how moral and how ethical and all things. But the whole point of God is not about fairness. The whole point of God is not about deserves or earns. The whole point of God is that God loves you even when you're dumb, even when you get it wrong. Even when you're messed up, even when you make a mistake, that there is nothing you can do to earn God's love. God's love is freely given to you because God lives out of generosity and not out of deserves. Are you with me? That is the way that God operates. I mean, that's the whole point of Jesus. That's the whole point of the cross. That's the whole point of the resurrection, is that God didn't die for us because God said, you know what? Y'all have had an especially good day today. So I'm going to die and rise for you because you deserve it. No, God said, you're broken, you're hurting, you're in pain, you don't know how to reconnect, so let me do it for you and I die for you. It says many times in Scripture, while we were still sinners, while we were still missing the mark, while we were still broken, Christ died for us, the ungodly, so that we could be reclaimed and reconnected to God. It has nothing to do with deserves and everything to do with God loves you, period, the end. That's it. And it has nothing to do with us deserving. Jesus died on the cross, gave his whole self up, gave his whole self away to even the people at the bottom of the cross, to even the people that hung him there, gave forgiveness and life and joy to them. I can imagine the disciples going, not them, And Jesus is like, yes, even them, there's forgiveness and life and grace. And then Jesus rises to show us that that's not the end of the economy, that death isn't the end, that we don't have a limited life, that we have an abundant life, that we have a generous life, and that we are called into the same life that Christ gives us, that we, the threshold we have to cross is to let go of the economy of owing and deserves and into the economy of abundance and generosity and grace and overflow and letting it all come out. We have two incredible opportunities, one with our Harvest for Haiti festival. I mean, we get to go to Arrowhead Golf Course and eat a meal. We get to, we have the ability to, we are afforded the opportunity to pay $125 to eat a delicious meal, but not because we want a deserved meal, but because we have friends in Haiti. I have friends in Haiti. I have good friends. My siblings in Haiti are suffering right now. And the first sad fact of that is probably you don't know that. You've probably not heard much on the news about that, right? They are suffering greatly in Haiti and need help. And we're here to help them, not because they deserve, not because they've earned, not because they've done something right, not because they've earned that privilege. We're doing it to them because we are generous people, and we have had a God who's generously given himself to us, and we can generously give ourselves away so that the person who's hungry, it breaks our heart, and we can give them something to eat. Amen? Amen. We have this opportunity with Abiding Hope Serves, where we're going to be projects all around Denver, all over Denver, that are going to be serving communities that need help, families that need help. We'll be in people's homes where we're cleaning up their yards because they don't have the ability to get outside and they want to feel proud about their place, but they don't have the ability. But so that we're going to come and mow and put in new plants and clean off the front. We're going to sort food and kitchens and things and give it away for free to people, not because it deserved or owed, but because we showed up and we said, yes, you need help and I can give that to you. And my life of generosity overflows from me and into you so that you can experience love and life today. Do you see that? This is about living generosity in our hearts and our minds. We see it so visibly every time we come to the altar. Every time we come to the altar for communion. There's a reason. Do you know there's a reason why we do communion every Sunday? It's because we forget. It's because we forget. And we need to be reminded every time we worship that we come to the altar and Jesus says, "This is my body. Blessed, broken, and it's given for you." And then says the most dangerous part, "Do this. You be blessed. You be broken. You be given away for the sake of the world. Do this." And then the word is "in remembrance of me," but the word is actually "in anamnesis," which means do this so you don't forget me. Like amnesia, on is the negative, on amnesia. Do this so you don't forget me. When we want to see God, when you want to see the life of God, I believe that when we serve and when we live generously, it's almost like it's reminding us of God's very presence in our lives and in our world, in the community around us. It reminds us of who we are as the children of God. It reminds us and reconnects us to that generous life that says, all of this is yours. Now bless it, break it, and give it away so that you don't forget, so that you don't forget whose and whose you are. So come to the table again today. It's a dangerous place. It's a dangerous place because it just might remind you that all of this doesn't belong to you. And it might remind you that you are blessed and you are broken and you are given away. So do this so you don't forget. If you'll pray with me. Lord God, you have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, on paths as yet untrodden, through perils unknown. Give us faith to go out in good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us. In the name of Jesus, amen.